it's good to see you in the Lord's house today as we've gathered together to worship His wonderful and holy name. Our call to worship today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read two verses of Scripture, verses 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You know, this is one of the great truths that as a believer, I do have liberty. But I'm never to use that liberty for selfish purposes or purposes that would be unwise. This passage of Scripture says, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, it's not always wise to take a certain course. Even though I can do it legally, I'm allowed to do it, but it may not be wise to do it. And then that second aspect, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, there's another standard that's presented there. We are to do things that edify and build up other brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that whole concept of building up is the idea of helping. You ever had somebody help you that you wish they weren't there helping you? I can imagine that some of you immediately have visuals of those that came along to help and were not much help, and you kind of wish that they would go away. But I wonder how the Lord must feel when He has His people that are doing things that are not edifying other believers in Christ. And so what's the standard? How do I know? All things are lawful, but some things aren't expedient. Some things are lawful, and yet they don't edify. What's the standard? Let no man seek his own. Stop being selfish. Don't seek your own, but rather seek the welfare of another. That's the whole idea. You know, we've gathered together to worship today. Everyone that is here today in this building has needs. You have spiritual needs, you may have physical needs, you may have all kinds of different needs. We all stand before the Lord with needs. And isn't it wonderful that you can stand with others who have needs that can also encourage you along the way? That's what we're to do as born-again children of God. We're to be there for each other, and we're to edify each other, and we're to consider others above ourselves. That is a biblical, universal principle for the Christian. And I pray that as we've gathered here today to worship and gather around the Word of God, as missionary Silveira shares the burden of Brazil with us and shares with us the burden of God's Word, that we can come alongside them and that we can be a help and an edification to them in the ministry that they have as well.
Take your hymnbooks this morning, please, and turn to number 401. Number 401. For our first hymn, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, number 401. Let's stand together to sing.
Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam.
standing this morning for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the privilege we have to be here together today to worship You, to gather in Your house and to sing hymns of praise to You, to have our minds focus on the things that You've done for us. Father, thank You already for the word that our pastor's given us, that the Lord exhorts us to remove selfishness from our lives, exhorts us to look on the needs of others, to join together, to edify each other, to build each other up, Lord, and to help each other grow closer in the things of Christ. I pray, Father, that we truly would, even as we've sung here this morning, that our heart would be looking at those that have needs around us. Lord, if we're full of selfishness, we won't see the those perhaps that are lost in sin, that, Lord, have no direction in their lives. And, Lord, we want to be faithful vessels and servants that we can be used of You to help guide others to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we thank You for this time this morning where we have the opportunity to be edified ourselves, to look into our hearts and minds as Your word is preached to us. Lord, deliver us from the mindset of complacency, of apathy, of selfishness, of, Lord, perhaps thinking that there's nothing wrong with us and we're looking around at other people. But, Lord, help us to look into our hearts and the way we stand before You this morning so that we can see things, Lord, where we can remedy, we can ask repentance of things, Lord, we can grow greater in the things of Christ. Give us that heart, Lord, a heart of humility, we pray this morning. And Father, I ask that You'd be with numerous requests that are on our minds as well, many that we know that are having serious needs right now. We think of the team traveling to meet Buddy this very day. I ask Buddy Fitzgerald, Lord, I ask that You would watch over them as they travel. Lord, I pray for Erica and her friends as well, that Lord, I pray that this road, this landslide, these things would be remedied so that the luggage and the equipment and the dental things as well from the other gentleman that's coming, that those things would be able to be delivered on time so that they can prepare for the first thing in the morning traveling out to these different tribes. Lord, watch over them and give them safety as they go down the river for a couple of days and the mission work that they're trying to do there. May You be glorified and may You give protection and may people come to know Christ as a result, Lord, of this work. Now, Father, I pray that You'd be with our college students. Many of them, Lord, are in the midst of a semester. Midterms are coming up soon, and many of them have a variety of other activities as well. Just watch over them, Lord. Help them to do well in their studies. Help them to be a good testimony and example of Christ throughout the different colleges that they represent. And Lord, I pray that You would just bless them for this semester. And Lord, also be with our ministry here. Continue to bless our school with a variety of activities. Our Youth Athletic Club is its kicking off a new season of baseball. Lord, the Children's Bible Club ministry, the Projector ministry. Lord, so many opportunities we have to serve in this community where You've placed us. Help us to be faithful, Lord, and to serve with the right heart and attitude. And we ask, Lord, that most of all Your name will be glorified and honored, that even this very hour as we seek to worship You. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And we'll turn back now to number 53. Turn over to number 53, All 4,000 Tongues to Sing. My Great Redeemer's Praise, number 53. 490, please, in your hymn books. Number 490. Take my life and let it be. Number 490.
It's our privilege to have the Silveiras with us. They have been serving the Lord for many, many years in Brazil and are now in the States on furlough trying to raise additional support for their work there. And they're friends with Ram Ribeiro. As a matter of fact, they were in school together at Bob Jones University at that time. And so, brother, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart today?
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. I should say good morning, y'all. I'm practicing, you know, brushing up my southern drawl a little bit with a Brazilian accent and all. It looks interesting. Thank you so much for having us here, Pastor. I mean, so much. I don't want to take a lot of time saying this, but from the bottom of our hearts, we're so grateful that we met you all, and thank you for your kindness in having us here. We've been having such a comfortable time, you know, here. It's such a peaceful place and a comfortable quarters and the surrounding. It's just amazing. We did some shooting yesterday, not gun shooting, but photo shooting. And it's just inviting, you know, just look around. There's always something to take a picture of. So we took a few moments yesterday to do that. Me and my wife, at least, and it was great. So thank you so much for the opportunity, the privilege of sharing the burden of Brazil here. I'll start out again with the names real quick here for those of you who hadn't met us back in December, I think, when we first came here. And the bond that was just happened that night, and thank you for your hospitality at all times. And the name is Vladimir Silveira. Vladimir, my wife Rosa, would you stand once again in case you haven't met her? I always say she's my favorite wife and only wife of 31 years. We are both from southern Brazil, the capital city of the southernmost state of Brazil, Porto Alegre. Porto Alegre is 16 hours south of São Paulo. São Paulo is already in the southern part of Brazil, but we're way down there. And our current ministry is halfway between São Paulo and Porto Alegre on the east coast of Brazil. The Lord called me to preach under the ministry of American missionaries. And so we're grateful for those who left America to go down there and win my entire family to the Lord. And later the Lord brought us back to the States to get some training. And in fact, I was called under the ministry of an American missionary as well. I was saved under the ministry of American missionaries. And I was called as I was actually... One specific night, the Lord used a ministry of this American missionary who couldn't speak Portuguese. So I was translating for him. And as he was preaching about surrendering your life to serve the Lord, I was translating all that and I was just taking it in. The Lord was speaking to me in two languages. That's you. So I dropped everything I was doing. I was an officer in the military. I was a junior electrical engineering major. Just dropped all of that and began to prepare for the ministry. in Brazil, and the Lord opened up the opportunity for us to come to America for the first time back in 1990. That's when we came to Bob Jones for 5 years. There's more details on the video, so I'm just trying to skip some of the information right now. But there's one information that I was not able to add there because, you know, it's hard to condense 30 years in a few minutes. But we've started 3 churches by the grace of God in Brazil, and one church, and we just prayed for one of the members this morning that whose son drowned, and keep praying for the Lima family, if you would. That church is now being taken care of by a Brazilian missionary. He's a Brazilian full-time missionary, and our main church supports him. We support about 15 missionaries there. And that church is not on the video, but we're able to start that one church, and this missionary is taking care of it. And so the other two churches, the details will be on the video. So I'll go ahead and show this video now.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Rosa and I were both born and raised in Brazil. We were both saved and baptized at an early age and received a call for missions as we were assisting American missionaries back home in the late 80s. That's when the Lord sent us to Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, to prepare for the ministry. 5 years later, after completing our education, now with 2 sons, we returned to Brazil to serve the Lord while we taught English as a foreign language to make ends meet. We held Bible studies in our house as well. Brazil, with a population of 209 million, is the 5th largest country in the world. In 2001, we returned to the States to raise support. That is when we joined our mission board, Baptist Evangelistic Missionary Association, BEMA, out of Columbus, Ohio, and Maranatha Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana, became our home church in America. Almost 3 years later, by the grace of God, we returned to southern Brazil as full-time missionaries. Our goals in Brazil are church planting, evangelism and discipleship, Bible Institute training, and biblical counseling. We started our first church plant ministry in Itajaí, a seaport city on the southeastern coast of Brazil, about 400 miles north from our hometown of Porto Alegre. Itajaí has a population of over 200,000 and is predominantly Catholic. Fishing and import-export companies are very common in this city. Due to the seaport access, unfortunately, Itajaí is considered the capital of HIV/AIDS in Brazil. Drug dealing and alcoholism are both responsible for the high rate of crime in the city. We started Igreja Batista Maranatha, Maranatha Baptist Church, in 2004. We started in our home with some of the former English students who got saved. We then rented a storefront to meet. We saw many souls saved and baptized, becoming faithful Christians. We also had a fruitful ministry with children. One kid would invite another, and Rosa faithfully worked with these kids for years. Many kids got saved and learned many valuable lessons from the Bible.
In our first VBS, we had 65 kids in a small room on a hot summer day. I remember one little girl that day, Bianca. She came to me, teacher, I need to talk to you. I stopped everything I was doing and shared the gospel with her, and she got saved. Today, Bianca is a senior in college and loves the Lord. What a blessing it is to work with kids. Every week for over 3 years, Vladimir would fill up a van for kids and take them all to Sunday school.
Carlos and Henrique, 2 brothers whom we affectionately called Little Indians, were both saved during that time. Some years later, these kids both drowned as one was trying to rescue the other and went to be with the Lord.
They were taught about praying and giving to missions. They heard so many Bible stories over the years and even sang some funny songs to learn biblical principles.
Rosa also taught the ladies of our main church for many years. Our sons, John Mark and Lucas Andrew, tirelessly helped us in the ministry with their God-given skills from an early age. We are grateful that God can still use them today as adults, currently in Florida. It has been my privilege to preach and teach at Igreja Batista Maranata and to train other preachers as well.
Ele jamais vai te abandonar. Só ele.
The Lord has allowed us to reach many people in our community with the gospel message through organized church visitation and everywhere we go about on any given day. Many Haitians have immigrated to Brazil after the devastating earthquake in 2010. We saw the need to reach these people and started also a Haitian ministry in our church. Some Haitians have been saved and baptized and are now reaching others for Christ. Brother Joel and Sister Honorata are pillars of our church. Joel is a former English student of mine who also began to attend our Bible studies and was gloriously saved. Later, his wife, son, and daughter-in-law, who were also my English students, got saved and have been a great blessing to Igreja Batista Maranata. Interestingly enough, their daughter-in-law's sister, Vanessa, has become my son John Mark's wife. Now we are one big family.
Meu nome é Joel Rodrigues e o Senhor teve misericórdia de mim no dia 14 de abril do ano 2001. Nós começamos a igreja na casa do pastor Vladimir. Logo depois, nós mudamos para uma outra sala, onde hoje nós temos a nossa igreja, que ainda pagamos aluguel. Então, fomos ofertados com um valor muito bom para que nós pudéssemos comprar o terreno, construir a nossa nova igreja, e todo esse projeto e todo esse trabalho foi acompanhado pelo pastor Vladimir. O projeto foi feito por ele. Então, nesse momento, eu quero chegar à presença do Senhor para agradecer ao pastor Vladimir e à irmã Rosa por todo o trabalho, por todo o carinho pelo qual conduziram esta igreja. Agradeço ao Senhor também, pastor, pela ajuda que o Senhor me deu nos estudos para que eu pudesse aprender cada vez mais com respeito a pregações e a escola dominical. Que Deus abençoe o Senhor e o seu trabalho. Muito, muito e muito. Muito obrigado. Amém.
After 15 years, we turned the main church over to a Brazilian full-time pastor, Fabio, and his family. He was voted in unanimously to become my replacement, so we could move on to start a new ministry. They have been a real blessing in many areas of Igreja Batista Maranata. As Rosa and I have been to so many churches, we planned the best layout for our church. We had the architect's work cut out for her. By the grace of God, we were able to purchase a lot, pay it off, and start building our own church. Our main church in Brazil recommissioned us to start the next church, 9 miles south, in a city called Balneário Camboriú. We thank God for His grace as we served there for 15 years. Then we started Igreja Batista Esperança, Hope Baptist Church, in that city. Balneário Camboriú is a resort city on the southeastern coast of Brazil. It is a well-developed and beautiful city with its skyscrapers and breathtaking shore. Yet the monument called Cristo Luz, Christ the Light, is the only Christ many of them know. By God's grace, we have been sent there to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we bear witness of that light, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Then we began to evangelize the neighborhood.
At first we didn't have a place to meet, so I talked to the owner of the restaurant, and we began to meet there on Saturdays.
Rent is very expensive in Balneário Camboriú, so we could only afford a small room that seats 14 people at a time. Again, Rosa and I planned the layout for this room to fit our purposes. Then our co-worker, Diogo, who is an interior designer, and his cabinet maker, Florencio, made our project a reality. Our goal is to start different Bible study groups there during the week, and then on Sunday we can use the building's conference room upstairs that can accommodate between 90 to 100 people. This is our faithful co-worker next to me. His name is Diogo. He's filling in for us while we're on furlough in the States. He graduated from a Bible Institute in Brazil and has a call to be a missionary in Italy. We couldn't have left God's work in Balneário Camboriú in better hands.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Diogo Tancredo, and I'm serving the Lord with Pastor Vladimir and Sister Rosa here at Balneário Camboriú, Hope Baptist Church. And I would like to thank God for everything that He has done. Great things has done the Lord to us here in Balneário Camboriú. We are reaching out for souls, and thank you for your prayers and for your support. Thank you very much. God richly bless you.
Eu dou graças ao Senhor Deus todos os dias pela vida do Pastor Vladimir, da irmã Rosa, desse ministério que foi levantado através da pessoa deles. É um local de paz, de confraternização, de comunhão com os irmãos. Um local onde eu consegui reencontrar o caminho da verdade, porque é um local onde nós todos nos encontramos e nos sentimos muito bem. Obrigado, pastor, obrigado, irmã Rosa, por tudo isso que tem acontecido aqui nessa cidade.
Another tool that we have been using to reach the lost and equip the saints is that of English teaching. As Hope Baptist, we created a group called Hope, helping others practice English. They learn English by reading the Bible and singing great hymns of the faith.
Hello, God bless you all. My name is Giovanna, and I'm here to talk about how my English had improved with the help of Pastor Vladimir. I learned a lot just by reading some studies of the Bible and practicing. And now I know many things about grammar and pronunciation, and I'm glad for all the advices. Thanks for the gift.
Hello, my name is Tanya. I was a student of Mr. Vladimir and Rosa here in Hope, Balneário Camboriú, in Brazil. And it was very nice having class with them. They are a very special couple. I learned too much the new vocabulary in English and about the Bible especially. So I can tell you, they are blessing my life. I have learned especially how to serve Jesus, our Lord. Thank you so much for all you have done. God bless you.
Please pray for Maranatha Baptist and Hope Baptist churches in Brazil, that souls will continue to be saved and Christians prepared to serve the Lord around the world.
Hello, my name is Kenneth Jones, and I'm the pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana. I also have the privilege of being the pastor of the Severa family. I believe with my whole heart that Brother and Sister Severa have been called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of Brazil. Brother Severa has always kept clear communication and good accountability with Maranatha Baptist Church and its mission staff. I highly recommend that you prayerfully consider adding the Severa family to your missions endeavors. May the Lord bless you, and thank you again for your consideration of the Severa family.
Thank you for watching the video. Would you please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9? If you can, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 9, we'll be reading verses 35 through 38. Just a brief challenge from God's Word here this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9:35, the Word of God says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you help us as we look into your word here this moment, that your Holy Spirit would bring us conviction of the need of being missionaries everywhere we go. Help us to reach this community here and help us to pray for the missionaries and be part of missions around the world at the same time. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Now here we see the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, setting the perfect example for us when it comes to missions. And we see, as we look in this passage, we learn that to do missions, first you must go. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages. So Jesus Christ himself saw the need to go. To go and praise the Lord for those who have gone. Praise the Lord for a younger generation. And the older I get, the more I get to say this. The younger generation, praise the Lord for the younger generation that is being called to go to the mission field. We go to different conferences and different meetings, and we find these younger people going there. Praise the Lord for that. And I trust that you, as young here this morning, have a heart to be open to whatever God would have you to do regarding missions. So there's a great turnover on the mission field. Some are retiring, some are going to be with the Lord, some are quitting halfway, unfortunately, or for different reasons they have to come back to their home, and then there is a void there sometimes. Sometimes there's not enough time to train somebody to replace them. So we need people from your country, from my country, from around the world to be willing to go. Jesus went. And Jesus went everywhere, about all the cities and villages. You know, different cities. We have large cities. We have small villages, small areas. Everywhere we go, we need to be involved in missions. And we also have individuals and families that who have responded to the call to go. And again, I'm grateful and indebted to the missionary family that has left America years ago when I was very little, and they were able to win souls for Jesus down there. And like I mentioned before, won my parents to the Lord, and then my whole family as well. So praise the Lord for those individuals and families who have responded. And sometimes people respond to like a short-term experience on the mission field, missions trips. And I even heard many times of people who have planned their own vacation overseas. They get they get the best of both worlds, you know, get to see a new place, get to go overseas, and even help and encourage missionaries. So I encourage you to go. Go here to your community. Reach your community as you go, as you reach people. You know, we like to do something here in America and also in Brazil. We call a track attack. You know, always attacking people with a gospel track. Sometimes you don't have a chance to talk to them. You're going through a toll booth or going through a checkout, and there are people in the back. But I remember one time we were in Brazil, and I was my wife picked up some groceries. It was a Sunday. We ran out of food, and we said, we're just going to go a quick trip to the grocery store. And we met this this young lady, and she was trying to say the name of some fruit. I forget what it was now, but it was Melon, some kind of melon. Anyway, the name of the thing was orange, okay? Orange. But she said orange. And I said, well, her English is not that good, so here's my cue. You know, my kids were little, you know. And I said, you know what? I came to her, I said, I think you want to say orange, like the color. Yes, the color, orange. I love English. She said, I love English. I said, well, we teach English. And our kids were born in Brazil, in America, and all in all, just the connection, we call it the hook, you know, just kind of connect them, you know, and it made it interesting. I said, oh, yeah, but now we're missionaries here, and we're planting a church in town, so I gave it, attacked her with a track, and she looked, wow, I want to go there. I want to know more about this. I even want to learn English and all of that. So long story short, that night she came to the service, and she got saved. Her husband had been studying to be a priest for 3 years. It took him a little longer, a couple of weeks. We tried to help him. They were moving. We had a small car. We just loaded our car with a lot of their stuff, you know, tried to show the love of God as we helped them. And they began to come to church, and he got saved too. So it all began with a track attack attempt. So we need to throw it there. I remember when I was traveling in the States with some before, a pastor or Dr. Bob, and I remember he said, I learned it actually from my dad, but he also did this. He said, he took me to the Chinese restaurant. I had never been to a Chinese restaurant in the 90s. I never know what it was, you know. And then when he paid for the bill, he came up and he gave this gospel tract, and he said, and I said, I do that. My dad does that too in Brazil. He said, yeah, I do that because if they take my money, they have to take my gospel tract. So it's a good reminder. So that's one way of going. You know, so praise the Lord for those who are involved. Thank you for being involved in missions. And if you're not, here's the challenge. Go. And as you go, give gospel tracts. Invite people to come to church. Give them your testimony if you have a chance, and on. Be involved in missions. So we learn that to do missions from Jesus Christ here, we learn from him that first you must go. Second, you must see. Look at verse 36, if you would. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. See, Jesus had gone, and when he went, he saw. That's why I said if you go on a missions trip, on a short missions trip to a foreign country, you'll see things firsthand. I guarantee your life will change. You'll never be the same. You'll develop, if you're willing to, you'll develop a greater burden for missions, and even on overseas or in your own country. Jesus Christ, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. This inner emotion, inner drive from within to reach those who are lost. The compassion, you're moved from your inner being. And look at what it says. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because, and here's the reason, they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, we see people like that every day. You know, by the way they do things, by the way they talk, by the way they react in a public place or in the driving and all of that. We see people are hopeless many times. They don't have the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and we have to have a burden. We have to see. I was here this earlier speaking to the chapel here a little bit to the younger generation. They said that you may find people here in your school that are not so close to the Lord or maybe not even saved yet. Have compassion for them. And so Jesus, when he saw the multitude, for who they were, his heart was moved with compassion. So if you go, you will see. And if you don't go, you won't see. So go, see. And somebody said, missions is done with the feet of those who go, the knees of those who pray, and the hands of those who give. Now, all those are important things. all these are important aspects of doing missions. And Jesus ends this chapter here by talking about prayer. So to do missions, you must go, we see here, see, and pray. And that's the aspect I would like to wrap up the challenge this morning. I'd like to encourage you to do that. So look at verses 37 and 38 once again. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's a problem there. The harvest is enormous, but the laborers are few. We need more people to do the work. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So you must go, you must see, you must pray. And notice here it says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. You know, sometimes we can get frustrated, even as missionaries, as we were there, like we heard about Moses this morning. You know, oh, yeah, why this, why that? And sometimes they get, you may have a tendency of get that Monday-like depression. You know, why didn't something happen like we were expecting? You know, and but anyway, will the Lord give us grace to move on if we don't keep our eyes off of what we're trying to do? Just remember that He is the Lord of the harvest. He is in charge of the harvest in Brazil. And once we look at things like that and that we renew our strength and we move on. But the laborers are few, so there's a lot of work to do, but not many people to do it. So we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Second, we need to pray for those who are in the harvest now. You know, they're right now. Sometimes even in Brazil, it's 3 hours. It changed the daylight time savings there overnight. So we were like 4 hours apart. Now like we're 3 hours apart. If we go to a different part of the States, it's going to be two and then one, but never on the same time. But people around the world are there, so we need to pray for those who are in the harvest now. It's a long stay. You know, I remember the first time we were, our first term was 6 years. Sometimes I've heard missionaries that spent even longer years there so they could learn the language and the culture and everything and come back. It's a long stay. They need our prayers. We need to pray for those who are in the harvest now. We need to pray also for those who are going to the harvest. Like I mentioned before, the younger generation, people who are on deputation, sometimes they're not so young, but they have the call and they're going, they're raising support. You know, that's also a long road. It's a long road. You know, I've heard of people who've given up halfway there or even before for different reasons. So we need to pray, and I don't know about you, and well, I should say, I know you do this, I know you know this, but there is power in prayer. You know, we need to pray now, just pray for the missionaries around the world in Jesus' name, amen. We need to pray. If you know of a specific need, we prayed for a missionary team this morning. We pray for missionaries. So I encourage you to, when you get the prayer letter and there's something there, make a point of praying about that, because prayer works. We depend on prayers. Missionaries depend on prayers. We teach our folks in Brazil to pray for missionaries. By the grace of God, our main church is supporting 15 missionaries. And our new church, we're just teaching them now. They're supporting our classroom now. And then we're praying for us. We have friends of Hope Baptist Church and missionaries of Hope Baptist Church. We don't have any missionaries there yet. It's a new ministry. But we're teaching them to pray and to be involved in missions. Prayer is very important. So pray for those on deputation. Pray for those on furlough. Again, it's another long road. We're just starting here and many, many miles across this country to report to supporting churches and to get to know new churches as well. And so pray for those who are on furlough. I remember this older lady in Brazil. Her name is Maria. Maria, she was bedridden. She could not get up at all. She was on a horizontal level at all times. Even if she wanted to take some sun, they would have to roll her
down to take some sun, you know, sun, and she was flat at all times. But you know what she did? She prayed for missionaries. There was not much she could do. We would take a group there to visit her, sing some hymns, try and encourage her. She encouraged us by the way she was there. She was not complaining. She was just glad that she could be part of the ministry by praying. She couldn't read, but she had all the names memorized. She prayed for us. And last furlough we were here, our furlough got short. We had to go back home. She said, I prayed for you to come sooner. You know, I prayed for you to do your ministry. I prayed for you to come sooner because there's a need here in Brazil. So, it's amazing. A prayer is amazing. So pray for those who are on deputation, on furlough, and also, last, pray for those who might respond to the call to go to the harvest. You know, in a meeting like this where we're thinking about missions conferences, or even through classes in school, or preaching, or any teaching of the Bible, just be open that the Lord would speak to hearts. Maybe you've been praying, oh Lord, send this person here, far away from here. Send them to the jungle somewhere. You know, I'm just kidding. I hope you're not praying for somebody. Oh, Lord, send this person away. You know, just in the right attitude, with the right attitude, pray for the Lord to touch hearts. But mostly, pray that the Lord will speak to your heart. When you pray, do you pray, Lord, hear my, send me? I don't know how you want to use me. Maybe you're going to use me here in Milton. Maybe you're going to use me in a different place. Maybe I'm going to go on vacation. Maybe I'm going to go see family somewhere. Use me. I want to be used by you as a missionary, perhaps not a full-time missionary, but a missionary as a witness of Jesus Christ, going to all the world and preach the gospel and be witnesses. The Lord speaks over and over that we need to be involved in missions and sharing the gospel message. So pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray for those who are in the harvest now. Pray for those who are going to the harvest soon, and pray that the Lord will send more laborers to His harvest. And that's a lot of praying. So there are a lot of options to pray for missions. So I just wanted to encourage you a little bit this morning regarding the matter of prayer. And I remember when I was on deputation years ago, again, this elderly lady came to me and she said, I even forget where this was, but I never forgot what she said. Get as much prayer support and everything else will fall into place. And I'm here to testify the Lord has never failed us. Through thick and thin, the Lord by His grace has sustained us. And I know for a fact that it's because we have people here in this country and in Brazil praying for us. So do pray for missionaries. When you get the prayer card put there on the fridge where we all usually go more often, right? Just put it there. When you see that picture, pray. Say a word of prayer. And if you know of a specific prayer request that they have, something urgent, do pray. And we're very grateful for people who pray for us over the years. Sometimes we'll get a note, an email, a phone call, hey, we're praying for you. Or somebody asks, hey, how's that situation? You know, we've been praying for you. Or I'll come to a church here and say, hey, how's that? So it's very important. It's encouraging for us to get the prayers. And it will be encouraging to you to see the answers to prayers. You know, there are things that only eternity will reveal, like the souls that will be saved because we've been praying for missionaries around the world. So please ask, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will encourage missionaries, encourage yourselves as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this challenge that You laid on the Bible for us. This example and Your burden, the compassion that You had for missions, for reaching out to those people who are lost like sheep having no shepherd, people who are hopeless, people who need
guidance from you, people who need Jesus in their lives, people who need salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you help us to be part of that. Thank you so much for Grace Bible Church, for their ministry here, reaching this community through their church, through the school, through their personal testimonies in town and everywhere they go. Continue, Lord, to encourage them as they pray for missions and continue to raise more workers, more laborers to be out in the harvest working for you. I pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Would you take your hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 489. 489. One of the things that Brother Silvera emphasized was the need for laborers to go. And we need to be praying that God would be working in our hearts, that God would be working in the hearts of young people, that God would be working in the hearts of parents and grandparents to encourage their young people to be open and receptive to God's will. We're living in times where we need more laborers, not less laborers. And yet, what are we seeing? We're seeing fewer going and many returning. We need to pray that God would work in our hearts, that we would surrender all and be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. 489, all to Jesus I surrender, stanza 4. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Have you done that? If you haven't done that this morning, you need to take care of that. You need to give yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be used in whatever capacity you want to use me. No strings attached. God can use an individual like that. Let's stand together as we sing on the fourth stanza, 489, all to Jesus I surrender. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together in your house and in your word. We thank you so much for the Silveras and for the burden that they have for their people there in Brazil, the desire to plant more churches and to see the word of God expand and grow into the communities there, to see folks reached with the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. We are to pray for laborers. But we also need to pray that God would work in our hearts, that we would be willing to go. So many times we are interested, as Brother Silvera said, in somebody else going. But Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would be willing to go. And we ask, dear Father, that you would give us a burden for those around us. It's wonderful to think of those in other countries without the gospel. But we have folks in our own neighborhoods that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us, Father, a burden to go to them and to share with them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you are worthy to receive glory and power and wisdom. And Lord, you are worthy for us to give our time and our talents to go out and to share the gospel with those who are lost. Father, work in our hearts today. Pray that you'd bring us back again tonight as we continue to hear of the work there in Brazil, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Vladimir and Rosa will be in the foyer to answer any questions that you may have concerning their ministry in Brazil. Thank you so much for being in God's house today. Amen.